With us tonight into Joshua chapter number 6. Joshua chapter number 6. As we go through our life sometimes, we face things and we deal with things and we're up against things sometimes and we are looking for the answers. Sometimes we're struggling with issues that are spiritual in nature, and we're trying to find the answers, and it just seemed like things don't make sense. Sometimes we're seeking direction for decisions that we're making in life, and we go to the Word of God, and we pray, and we seek His face, and the direction that we're going, and the things that we're going through just don't seem to make sense. Amen. And sometimes God calls us and He gives us a job to do. And we know that we got this job to do and we want to fulfill it. But the way that God is leading, it just don't seem to make sense. Amen. And if you don't believe that you can get yourself in a situation sometimes where things don't seem to make sense, ask Brother George Ballou. Amen. He started out dealing with cancer on the bladder and was looking at that and didn't realize it was going to take him to where it has taken him. Amen. In his journey. Am I right, Brother George? Amen. It just didn't make sense. But now you find out as you look back that God had a plan anyway. Amen. And God was in control. God seen and God knew. And God was going to do what we didn't even conceive and man hadn't even conceived. If you have found Joshua chapter 6, let's stand this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We're only going to read the first five verses. It says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? I'm sure everyone is pretty much familiar with the story of the Battle of Jericho and Joshua and the army of Israel as they were coming into the promised land. And this was the first battle that they would fight in the promised land. And if you're not familiar with it, Jericho was a great and a formidable city. It was one of the strongest cities. It was considered impregnable by many of its contemporaries in that day. It was just an awesome city in its fortifications and in its preparations to protect that. That was within its walls. They say very archaeologists and varying commentators you read after, I give descriptions of it. But just let me say this, for all the different things that you hear, it was an awesome city. One set of the wall, the outer wall was 6 feet thick, and it was 27 feet tall. The inner wall was 12 feet thick, and was 35 feet tall. And it was built to keep that which was in it in complete safety and out of harm's way. It was built to be impregnable. And here Joshua and the armies of Israel and the people of Israel are camped on the plains of Jericho before this great city, some 5 miles away. Over 1 million people are encamped here, and their camp can be seen from Jericho. And Jericho realizes that the spies have already been into Jericho and have left. Jericho realizes that this great multitude has already come into the city. Jericho realizes that God has been with his people, although he's brought them for 40 years in the wilderness because of unbelief and because of disobedience and because of their sin, yet God has never forsaken them. As they came out of Egypt, God had parted the Red Sea, and no doubt it was noised, it was broadcast about that as the children of Israel even entered into the promised land, as they journeyed there to Gilgal, to the plains of Jericho, that God had even parted the waters of the River Jordan so that his people could once again come across on dry land. And here this great city that had this great reputation is in fear because of what lies before them. God's people have been in the wilderness for 40 years because of the reports of the unfaithful men who searched out the land and looked at it. And they said the cities are great and walled. No doubt they had seen Jericho. No doubt they had heard of its fortifications. They said there are giants in the land, and we're as grasshoppers in their sight. And they made the people to fear and to rebel in doing what God had told them to do, and God had punished them. But two men, Caleb and Jacob, had been faithful in reporting, had been faithful in giving an account of what was in the land, and that it was very obtainable with God's help. But now they're there. Now they're looking, they're staring at one another. And God's people were looking at this great city. This great city is an obstacle that has to be surmounted before they can go any further. It's an obstacle that must be taken before they can go on. The first two cities in the conquest of the promised land that are taken are Jericho and Ai. And these two cities, they set, although Jericho sets 1,300 feet below sea level in the valley and in the plain of Jericho, yet it guards the backbone of the mountains that runs across Israel. And Ai, on the other end of the mountain range, guards the other end of the strategic piece of land. And Jericho and Ai must be taken and must be conquered before we can go on. As you study and you read out and you see the battles that Joshua fought after he took Ai and Jericho, he conquered the southern part of the promised land before he moved across the backbone of Israel, the backbone, this mountain range, to do the conquest that needed to take place in the northern part of the country. It was a strategic point. It was a place of strategic entrance. And yet it was an obstacle that was formidable standing before them. And you know, sometimes we have obstacles in our lives. Amen. We have things that are formidable standing before us. And look at what it says here in verse number 1. It says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, and none went out, and none came in. Jericho was shut up tight. Jericho wasn't letting anything move. Jericho wasn't taking any chances. And Jericho was an obstacle that had to be met. It had to be defeated. Sometimes we have obstacles in our lives, do we not? Sometimes we are like the folks in Jericho. Sometimes the devil locks us up. Amen. He pins us up, and he don't let us out, and he won't let us in. He won't let us have our way. Sometimes the obstacles are stumbling blocks that are in our way and need to be moved so that we can go on and so that we can function and do what God wants us to do. How about you this morning? Do you have an obstacle, a stumbling block that's in your way? No doubt we all do. No doubt we have these battles that we fight in the flesh, and we look and we see the obstacles and we think there's no use. There's no use. I can't break this habit. I can't stop doing this. There's no use. God, I can't do this job. God, I can't do what you want me to do. There's no use. Just look at me. I'm backwards. I'm ignorant. I'm unlearned. I don't talk good. I don't look good. I sometimes maybe don't smell good. Or whatever excuse you want to use. But God, I can't do this. God, I can't go there. I just can't go there. I couldn't do that if I had to. I couldn't eat what those people eat. I couldn't live like those people live. I couldn't do what needs to be done to reach these people. We place stumbling blocks and we have obstacles before us in doing the different things. Sometimes it's hard to come out from among them and be you separate because the devil has us locked up. And sometimes we're on the outside needing to move the stumbling block and sometimes we're on the inside and we need to get out. Amen. We need to get out of this place where danger is going to dwell, where danger is going to persist, and we can't get out. There are obstacles to our faith. There are obstacles to us following God. Y'all listening this morning? Do you realize as long as we're in this flesh, there's going to be obstacles. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to see things sometimes is unsurmountable. Amen? Undefeatable. Unconquerable. And we look and we see that everything is shut up. We look and see, well, what can I do? Amen? Just listen. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. See, there was an assurance that was given Joshua already. Amen. You know, back in chapter 5, if you go back and just look back a few verses in chapter 5, it says that Joshua was walking and he came over by Jericho and he seen a man standing by the wall with his sword drawn. And Joshua said, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the Lord's host. Amen. I'm here. I'm here. Because of battle. Yeah. You know, Joshua said, are you on their side or are you on our side? Praise God, I'm glad that God doesn't show up to take sides, but praise God, shows up to take control, amen. He shows up to show us that we don't have to stay in a place of defeat. We don't have to live in fear because of Jericho. We don't have to try to fight our way through the obstacles. He said, look, he said, I've already given it to you. Look, they're already shut up. They're already afraid. You know, the devil's a defeated foe already. He knows he's already defeated. Amen. But he's going to make his last stand. You notice the folks in Jericho, they didn't just sneak out and slip away one night. Amen. Now, if I'd done heard about all that God had done, amen, and I'd done seen this army that was before me of hundreds and thousands of men ready for war. Amen. And I'm looking at this city and I'm looking at that army. You know, once they got me in here, I'm trapped. Now, reason would tell you the smart thing to do would be to get on out of there. Amen. Who's with me on that? Amen. I don't know about you, baby, but we're leaving tonight. Amen. If the kids want to go, that's fine. If they don't, that's up to them. But honey, we're out of here. Amen. We're out of here. But you see, the devil shuts us up. The devil shuts us in. And God says, don't worry about that. He said, I've already given it. Amen. He said, I didn't come here. I didn't come here so that you could get lifted up and that you could win a battle by yourself. I didn't come here use them for an example and to let them have a place in history that talks about the greatness of the city that was Jericho. He said, I come here to demonstrate who I am and what I am and what I can do and when I can do it and how I can do it. Amen. He said, I've got a promise for you. The city is already yours. He said, See, look at it. I've already given it. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. There was nothing that God was going to hold back. Amen. Do you know when we learn to trust in God, we learn to see God for who He is. Amen. We learn to see him as captain of the Lord's host. You know, Joshua was they called Joshua, and you read historians or you read commentators, and they talk about Joshua, the great general. Joshua wasn't a great general. Joshua was the great follower. Amen. Joshua was listening to God. The one time he didn't listen to God, what happened? What happened when they didn't seek God's face? What happened when they didn't? How many remember the story about Gibeah? There's about two or three of you. Amen. One of the other cities in the south, the next city after Ai, was the city of Gibeah. And they prepared themselves. They took some old clothes and found old wine bottles and found old moldy bread and old worn out sandals. And they gathered it all up and they sent an entourage down to meet Joshua and the men of Israel and said, look, we want to make a pact with you. We want to sign a treaty with you. We want to be at peace with you. Look, we come from a long way. They told them this big old drawn out lie. And the Bible says that the men of Israel made a pact with them. They made an agreement with them. They signed a treaty with them. But it says they didn't inquire of God. They didn't ask God. And you know what happened? They found out that they weren't from a long way away. They found out that everything that they had told them had been a lie. Amen? You know, the Bible says over, we've been studying 1 John in our adult Sunday school lesson, in 1 John chapter 4, it says, try the spirits. Amen? Try the spirits. You know, when you work on what you think, feel, or believe, you're going to mess up. Yeah. Amen? But when you allow the Spirit of God to direct you and to guide you, when you seek God's face and seek God's direction, you get the answers that you need. You find out what you need to know. Amen? And you can rest assured in who He is and what He's going to do. Amen? He says, see, I've already given this city. I've already given all its mighty men. I've already given everything into your hands. Amen? Back in Isaiah, the Bible tells us that He was going to be a deliverer. He will be a deliverer. He will give us victory. Look, let me read these to you. Isaiah 25, verse 8, he says, He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away all tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off of all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. They were looking for the promise. That was the promise of God's deliverance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the promise has come. Amen. God has told the children of Israel, go to the promised land. I will deliver it and I will give it to you. Amen. They were looking for the promise. But when they got there, they found out that what God has promised and what God has said He would do, praise God, He can do. Amen. Aren't you glad we got a God that can do this morning? In 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58, it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We already have the victory because Jesus has already won the victory. We already have the city. We already have the battle won because God has sent His Son to give us victory. Praise His name this morning. Amen. We don't have to wonder, are we going to have victory? We know we have victory. Amen. Amen. He said, he will. The prophet was talking about, it's a coming. It's a coming. You're going to have a victory. You're going to have a victory. But praise God, the apostle was able to write, we don't have to look for it. We have it. Amen. His name is Jesus. Amen. But then we not only see the obstacles and the assurances, but we see the plan. Amen. Aren't you glad that God has a plan? Sometimes God's plans just don't seem to make sense. Amen. Sometimes God's plans just, I'm not sure about that. Amen. Here's one of the mightiest cities in antiquity. Here's a mighty army that's coming to invade. Now, man's way of doing things is you bring siege engines, which are large battering rams and catapults and all these things, or you build earthworks up against the side of the walls. The Romans were known to take years to conquer a city. It might take years to do it, but if you persist, amen? I tell folks all the time, boys that work for me and guys that work for me at work and my kids and stuff, I remind them all the time, you know, sometimes we want things to happen like this, and we live in a modern age where we just push a button and it happens. And we lose track of patience. But sometimes you just got to remember, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. Amen? It might take you 10 years to conquer this city. Amen? But you keep eating that elephant, and eventually you'll do it. When the Babylonians come and they laid siege to Jerusalem, they laid siege to the point where there was nothing left to eat. They starve you out. Eventually, you know, they'll starve you out. Now, some cities had the ability to supply their water from within. Some cities had the ability to sustain food from within and to grow food and keep it going. So the better off you were, the longer you could sustain. But eventually, an enemy that was persistent was going to overcome. Now that would sound logical from a carnal view, from my view. You know, what are we going to do first? Well, we got to make us some battering rams up. And you know, Joshua, he didn't have the battering. He didn't have his engineers out building battering rams. We got to prepare to build some earthworks. We got to build some dig some tunnels. We need some tunnelers. Sometimes they would dig under the city. They would dig under the walls of the city, and they would build a large fire. And the fire, as it burned, would cause the stone to actually get hot and explode. And yes, stones will explode if they get hot. Concrete will explode if it gets hot. Amen. It will splatter. It will burn you horribly. And that was one of the means. But we didn't have all this. God says, look, I got a plan. You got something, an obstacle in your life, and you're struggling with it, and God's told you, look, you already got a victory, but here's the plan. Amen? You already know, but here's the plan. Remember the commercial when E.F. Hutton talks? You know, everybody would get up. Several years ago at work, they had somebody broke into one of our communications houses, and they set it on fire up here in Newark, Delaware. And that's a very dangerous thing because these little houses along the way, they control the tracks, they control the signal system, they control when the tracks are going to be thrown and what direction they're going to be thrown, what trains move. And somebody broke into one of these and set it on fire. Well, everybody just about in this area that worked in that department had to go to Philadelphia and meet with government officials, the FBI, and all these people who were investigating what had happened. And I got one friend of mine that's got a very, very dry sense of humor. And Victor, he got up there and they're asking him all these questions. Where was you when this happened? And blah, 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 this and that and everything else. I don't know. And he says, well, who do you think done it? And Victor got up and he leaned into the table and he said, everybody just jumped up and listened to what he had to say. He said, an arsonist. Didn't go over too well. But sometimes God is speaking. And God's got a plan, and we ask God for a plan. We want the plan, and when God starts to reveal the plan, we start to listen. I want you all to sell your home, and I want you all to move to the Honduras. Most dangerous country in the world, by the way. Believe it or not. I want you to, man, y'all just retired. Perfect situation. You know, Moses is going to be with us at the end of the month too, on Youth Sunday. He's going to be here in the morning. Moses is a young African preacher from Brother Gentry's church. He's going to be with us in the Sunday school hour. Y'all need to come and hear Moses. But you know, Brother Gentry's getting old. And he didn't start into his work in Africa until he was about your age. Why don't you all just go over and give Brother Gentry some relief? Leave everything behind. Just forsake it all. George, I'm going to send you for a heart valve before we operate on the bladder. I got cancer. And we're worried about this, and I got to do that. God's got a plan. Joshua, here's what I want you to do. Here's how you're going to defeat this city. Now, we look back. All right? Hindsight's 20/20 all the time. Amen? We look back, and it's all, sounds, yeah, man, that was just God doing what God does. But Joshua, you're going to get seven priests with seven trumpets. And they're going to go in the front. And then Joshua, you're going to get your men of war. And you're going to put them behind the seven priests with the seven trumpets. Yeah, we've got a plan here. We're going to blow the bugle charge. What's going on here, God? Well, then you're going to get the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, man, that's great, God. That's great. That's where you reside upon that mercy seat. And praise God, that's just evidence of your presence. Man, God, that's good. And then you're going to go, and you every day for 7 days, you're going to march around the city. Huh? You're going to go, Joshua. You're going to go on the first day and the second day and all the way to the sixth day. You're going to march one time around the city and yet not going to make a sound other than the sound of the trumpets blowing. Sometimes, God just doesn't make sense to us. Amen? God, I've got this problem. How am I going to deal with this problem? God, I've got an addiction. God, my kids got an addiction. God, I've got health issues. God, I'm dealing with this, and God, I'm dealing with that. And how am I going to deal with this? And God gives you his plan. He gives you a word, maybe from the preacher, maybe from your Bible reading, maybe just in prayer. God speaks to your heart, and you say, what? Go march around the city? You know, them people are going to laugh us to scorn. Them people are going to think we're just plumb crazy. Can you imagine the first day as Joshua and the armies and the multitudes of Jericho, now behind the ark was all the people, all the men, women, and the boys and the girls. You had over a million people. I don't know how many of them were able to go out and march around this city, but the Bible tells us they did. Amen. And the first day is the people in Jericho seen them coming. I bet the men of war were getting their bows ready. And they were getting their weapons of war ready and preparing to attack these crazy people that were coming to march around their city. They were coming to attack. No doubt the attack is imminent. The attack's going to take place. and they just march one time around the city. And they go back to Gilgal, a few miles away, probably no doubt within eyesight of the city of Jericho. And everybody in Jericho saying, what was that all about? Maybe it was a recon. Amen. What was that all about? Maybe they lost their nerve. What was that all about? We don't know. It was about God's plan. Amen. It was about God's plan. God has a plan. Amen. He had a plan for them. And he's got a plan for you. Just like he's had a plan. Over in Genesis chapter number 2, the Bible tells us this. Listen. It says, and the Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. God had a plan for Adam in the garden. Amen. God had a plan from the very beginning. It was a picture of purity, a picture of innocence that we could see and that we could know and that we could experience. God had a plan for Noah, as he told him to build an ark. Amen. Nobody had ever seen rain. Nobody had ever seen a flood, no doubt. And here's Noah out in the middle of the desert, out of the middle of nowhere, wherever it was he was, and he's building this giant ship, this giant vessel. People come by and looked at that and said, what in the world, he done going crazy? Amen. People, yeah, you ever tell people how you're letting God deal with things in your life or how you're dealing with the problems in your life and you're trusting the Lord for it, and they look at you and say, you must be crazy. What do you mean you're praying about this? You're praying about that. Let me tell you why. God's got a plan. Amen. Amen. God's got a plan. God had a plan for Abram. He took Abram up out of the Ur of the Chaldees, amen. He brought him into the promised land. He had a plan for him to make a people who would be as numerous as the stars of heaven, as the sands of the sea. God had a plan for Abram, and it's a picture of friendship with God. Amen. You know, God wants to be your, he's got a plan. He wants to be your friend. Amen. He wants to be your deliverer. He wants to be your innocence. He wants to be your beginning. We see God had a plan for David, and he set him upon the throne of Israel. And in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, it tells us that God will set his son upon the throne of David. You see David's life, and the plan for David was a picture of lordship, a picture of kingship. From the Savior. There was a plan for the dying thief that hung next to our Savior when he cried, Father, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. It was a picture of our Savior. It was a picture of salvation. God's plan for man. There's a plan for Paul. When God called Paul into the ministry, and called Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he asked God to remove the thorn, and God said, my grace is sufficient. He was a picture of grace all the way around. He was the one who had persecuted the church. You tell me that's not grace. Amen. He was the one who killed Christians. Tell me that's not grace. He was the one who went to the ends of the earth to tell people about Jesus in prison, in torments, beaten, rotted, stoned, everything else, shipwrecked. Praise God, but he kept on going. A picture of the grace of God. And there's a plan for God's people. And John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. I might not understand the plan completely, but praise God, I'm going to hold on to his plan. Amen. God, I don't know how you're going to do this. We're going to march 7 times around on the 7th day, and we're going to shout, and you said the walls are going to fall down. Amen. don't make good sense, but it don't have to make good sense. It's only got to make God sense.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if we learn to trust God and depend on God and to let God have His way in everything, we find victory in our life. We find the obstacles are removed. We find that God is faithful to His Word. We was going to sing that song this morning, "The Past is a Promise." I'm glad this morning I have Joshua chapter 6 that I can go back to, and I can look and find out that sometimes when God just don't seem to make sense, praise God, that's when the victories come. Amen. When God doesn't do it our way, but He does it His way, praise God, that's when we can know that there's no better way for us to trust our issues and trust our obstacles and our problems too, because the victory comes of Him, because God has a plan. He's got a plan for your life. He doesn't want to see any man, woman, boy, a girl die and split hell wide open. He had a plan for you when He sent His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Praise God, what a plan. Amen. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God, what a plan. Amen. It was a plan that He had before the foundations of the world, because He knew that we would need a Savior. He knew that we would have a time when we would need the victory over sin in our life, and He wanted to give us victory. Praise God for His plan. But their victory, if you look down in verse number 24, it says, "And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord." In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Sometimes we may not understand why we're going through the trials that we're going through, why we're facing the obstacles that are before us, why we have to deal with the stumbling blocks along the way, but be assured that God has a plan. Sometimes it seems like what's before us is insurmountable, but praise God, remember that God has already told us we have victory in Jesus. Amen. Praise God. He might tell us to go and march 7 times around, and praise God, I'm glad as they marched, they had the Ark of the Covenant, which was a symbol of the presence of God. As they marched, and the 7 priests blew upon the 7 trumpets, as they marched 7 times, do you know what the number 7 is in the Bible? It's the number of perfection. Amen. Praise God. He had a perfect plan. Amen. Executed in a perfect manner, and executed to the T by the people who did it because they trusted Him by faith.
Amen.
You know, we don't always get to work by what we know, what we see. We got to trust God by faith. Amen. We got to let faith take us to where God wants us to be. And I don't know, this message God laid on my heart, it's for somebody. Amen. It's for me as much as anybody, but it's for somebody this morning that needs to let faith take them where God wants to take them. Amen. To let faith take them where God's plan leads them, so that they might overcome the obstacles that are before them. Realizing He's there. He's come to take charge. And when He speaks to your heart, when He moves through the church, and He's speaking to your heart, He wants to take charge. Amen? He didn't come to argue with you about whether you should go to the altar or whether you shouldn't go there. He came to take charge. He didn't come to argue with you about the conflict that's going on between you and the devil and your life. That conflict's always there. But He's come to take charge. He wants to be the source of your victory. He wants to be the captain. of your life. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song of invitation.